Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery, BTR.org. I'm Anne. I'm sure you remember what it was like when you were searching for help, maybe for your husband, hoping to find the right program or therapist. That's why I started podcasting. I supported my husband through 7 years of pornography addiction recovery, and not one therapist during that time told me I was experiencing emotional and psychological abuse and sexual coercion. I didn't want any other woman on the planet to be in the dark. If you're like me, one simple, anonymous way to help spread the word is to click follow or subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. While you're there, every 5-star rating also makes this podcast more visible and will help save other women from getting the wrong kind of help, like a couple program that'll make this type of abuse worse. If you've already purchased a copy of my book, Trauma Mama Husband Drama, please circle back and give it a 5-star rating. A lot of women are searching for books about betrayal trauma, and rating Trauma Mama will help them find this podcast, which is free to everyone. If you're like the majority of my listeners, you're experiencing the type of abuse that's invisible and difficult to wrap your head around. Your husband is using porn or having affairs or lying to you, and you're getting the same bad advice about how to improve communication or your relationship. If you need real support, check out our daily group session schedule at btr.org. We'd love to see you in a session today. Elizabeth, a member of our community, is back on today. We're going to continue the conversation that we had last week. We were talking about how she was going to move back to Canada. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, listen to that first and then join us here. We're just going to jump right in.
Canada's laws are much more effective when it comes to domestic abuse. Did you end up moving to Canada?
Mm-hmm. I did. Okay. Yeah.
And was that before or after your divorce?
After. I didn't have a green card. I was just authorized to work in the United States. And he had thought I would continue to pursue my green card and he could help me so that I could remain in the United States. And I didn't tell him that I had changed my plan and that I changed the plan to I'm actually going to move back to Canada where I'm a citizen. And so for a couple months, he believed that he still had a certain amount of control over me after we were separated. And then I pursued to do everything legally and upfront. And when he found that information out, he was obviously very upset. But it protects me. I'm not a citizen there. And I don't have any support.
And at that time, in that instance, protected you from prolonged legal abuse in terms of the divorce, but maybe not in terms of custody, because I have a feeling that you're going to bring up custody. Because this guy sounds like a coercive controller. This type of abuser really enjoys chaos and pain, and they will even hurt themselves because it's so fun for them to see someone else in chaos and pain. And so it's very strange because they do things that seem really stupid because it's hurting them, but it's also hurting you. And it also seems very smart. And women in this situation are usually like, how can he be so smart and so stupid at the exact same time?
Yeah. It is a question that's crossed my mind.
Yeah. So let's talk about the post-divorce abuse. What happened after?
They asked, do we want to subpoena his bank records? And we had never shared banking. I'd never looked at any of that. They said, it's just something we typically do during divorce. So I was like, okay, sure. And his bank records showed when we first separated the first couple months after, he was at a college bar every second night. So he was right back into the kind of behaviors, you know, that he'd been used to. I've just said that because when we first were moving away, I think he was busy with his own thing, so he wasn't as intent and wasn't as involved. But then maybe something changed in his life. And when we were, in fact, across the border, he started to really just harass me a lot through the parenting app. And we had created this parenting plan when we lived in the U.S. And when the borders finally opened and we moved to the area we moved to, we had no real concept of the impact it would be on my daughter, who was 2 at the time, barely 2. But it was a rigorous, rigorous schedule for her. And I worked full time. She was in daycare full time. And 2 nights a week, she'd have to be away from home for 12 hours. We'd have to meet him at this neutral location. It's dark. It's raining. The roads are bad. He had no intent, as much feedback as I gave him, that this was so hard on her. And can we please possibly figure out a different way for him to get that 1.5 hour visit by extending his weekend visits or something? He just wouldn't budge. And he could see the difficulty for her in terms of her sleep schedule.
And for you.
Yeah.
Because it was hard for you too. And he's thinking, awesome. Awesome. It's hard for her and it's hard for the baby.
Exactly. I'm sure he knew. And he didn't care if it was hard on me, then she was just kind of a byproduct of that or whatever. So that went on for about 6 months. And then I just said, enough. Like, you can take me to court, but I'm decreasing this to one night a week on her weeknights. And this is where I find him to be kind of a lot of talk, but then no action. Because I think if you get down to the truth of everything, of what he actually wants, it's not that extra 1.5 hours. It was more that, it, like you said, it was kind of impacting our lives and we had no free time. We're exhausted all the time. You know, we're bending to his will. And so that's been the main thing. Still kind of a lot of crazy making in that he'll say, you never give me any time, da, da, da. But then there's evidence of all through the parenting app. And the parenting app has been so great because it's all there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all documented. Mm-hmm. And you're not having to fish through to find. And it's very validating to look back and go, oh, this is all the times I offered, or these are all the things. So it contradicts itself. And now here we are 3 years since we moved. And I can just say, you're contradicting yourself. Well, now I don't even really say that much. He knows. But at first I was over explaining and deflecting. And now I don't do any of that. He doesn't really try to make up any extra time with her, so that it's kind of playing itself out. And the less I engage, the less of a rise he gets from me, the more I have cut down any interaction on the app to like the bare minimum. He kind of shrinks away. That being said, now he won't let me talk to my daughter when she goes away on the weekends. So that's a way to kind of, in quote unquote, make me pay.
So the strategy that you used, that's one of the concepts that we teach in the Living Free workshop. The BTR Living Free workshop is how to think about the abuser so that you are in a state of mind to be able to respond to them in a way that protects you, how to communicate with them, and then how to set boundaries, the way that is effective, where they can't actually cross them because it's all you. And these types of boundaries that we teach in the workshop, they're never anything that you say.
I love that.
Because women who take the workshop will learn this. With an abuser, if you tell them, hey, I don't like it when you wear green, just for example, they'll be like, sweet, now I know how to bugger. I'm going to wear green. It's never a way to solve the problem. You're always just giving them a sign, how to harass me. It bothers me when you do this. They're like, great, thanks for letting me know. I'll keep doing it. We never, ever want to tell them what our boundaries are or what we need or what we want or anything like that, because that only puts us in more danger. So the Living Free workshop talks about that. But one of the things that you said is a really important principle that we teach in the Living Free workshop, and it is, do not believe them. So many times these abusers will say, well, I'll take you to court. And you're terrified, right? Because you don't want to lose your daughter. So you think, well, I better do what he says or he's going to take me to court.
And that went on for a couple of years for me. Yeah.
Yeah. The better way to respond is, oh, okay, sounds good. This is my attorney's phone number. Have your attorney contact him. Just be like, oh, all right, that sounds good. Here's my attorney's phone number. Let me know how it goes and leave it at that. Some of them will take you to court. So just know that it's not always going to end up like that. But the majority of them, they just want to make you do what they want. And they think threats are going to get them that, but they don't actually want to spend the time and energy to take you to court, because in reality, their actions very rarely match their words. And that goes the same for promises. Of course, I love you. I'm not going to look at porn. And then it goes the same for threats too, usually. If they've threatened to harm you physically and in your state that enables you to get a protective order, get it, because that will always help you. And the criminal route is always better than civil for protection. So if you can get some kind of criminal action, that's always going to help you more. So that's good that at this point, more or less you've been delivered because you stopped believing him.
Exactly. And I just advocate for myself and my daughter. And I, like I said, I have the documentation to support decisions and all of that. So I've just kind of protected myself that way. What you said about the boundaries, I think of that all the time and I share it with other people because I learned it from the podcast. It's an actionable, it's not words, because many people think it's a lot of words to describe your boundary. And I love that it's an action you take.
Yeah, that's the only thing that will actually protect you. And if you tell them your boundary, it's a big giant flag that says, hey, this is how to abuse me. So you never, ever, ever want to tell them. Once you know they're an abuser, of course. Like in the beginning, you're trying to figure out, is this abuse? What's going on? And instead of asking him or talking to him about abuse, again, with Living Free, we recommend that you just observe. Just watch. You don't have to ask him, hey, are you abusive? Or this is abuse. You don't have to bring it up. You can just observe and you could see that he's abusive. If you see that he's abusive, you don't have to tell him. You need to get to safety, but you don't need to say anything about it.
He's heavily just projected that towards me. So the parenting app, I had to go through some of the documentation recently. And I think it was over 30 counts of he accusing me of being a parental alienator and a narcissist. And I don't comment. I learned that early on too. Like I'm not here to diagnose him, but I will comment on his behaviors at times. But I really refrain from that as well because there's no point to it. But yeah, he's very heavily projects on me that I'm mentally unstable. And where I was living, like I mentioned, it's in the northern states near the Canadian border. And I just couldn't find anything in the city I was at for support. And so I mentioned he started SAA. They did have a group. And then I found a COSA group of about 4 or 5 women in that area. I just didn't find that I got much from it. And so I just started looking for podcasts and different information. And I stumbled across BTR. And where I was being so isolated, it was what kind of was like my main support, really. And just starting to connect the dots. I did read some books as well, but I would say the podcasts from BTR were the main thing that kept me rooted in reality, where I was like, yes, this is what matches. Because like you said, certain parts of COSA, there were certain things that I was like, yeah, sort of. But then listening to the podcasts and the different people you would have on was kind of the main thing that rooted me in reality of what I was experiencing. And it was like a big, yes, this fits with what I'm experiencing. And that's kind of what helped me in a lot of my decision making. And his counselor even said to him at one point, he said, she's reading these books. He didn't know about the podcast. She's reading these books. And she kind of silenced him and said, she's becoming empowered. Like it threatened him that I was learning what I was learning, because then I was no longer kind of trapped in the chaos, you know.
Was the BTR podcast, when you found it, was it kind of revelatory? Like, was it something totally new that you hadn't thought of or heard before? Or was it something that you did know inside, but you just didn't know you knew it?
I would say, looking back, I would say the latter for sure. I work in healthcare. I have some knowledge of like mental health, knowledge from books I've read and things like that. And so I think as I started to listen to it, I'm like, yes, this makes sense as to what I already know. Like I talked about the addiction side of it and the attachment. I knew about attachment kind of, you know, so it kind of brought everything together. At that time, it was like in 2018. And you had the gentleman on who's written a couple books. He talks about the secret sexual basement.
Oh, Minwala.
Yeah, those episodes were around that time and just starting to kind of put pieces together. It was like I knew that this was ill treatment. But I didn't think it was as calculated as it was.
Before we get back to the conversation, there are a lot of so-called betrayal trauma therapists or coaches or groups out there, but they don't approach pornography use or infidelity as an abuse issue. Or they try to quote unquote treat the victim and the abuser in the same setting. That's unethical. So if you hear something in this episode you relate to, check out the group session schedule at btr.org. We'd love to see you in a group session today. Now back to our conversation. I think the thing that is really interesting is that women, when they find the podcast, they're like, yes, like they knew it, but they didn't have words for it, or they couldn't really bring it to the surface. And then I think the other interesting thing is that they're, what? How did I not know? How did I not understand? That's how I felt. Like when I read, why does he do that? I was like, how am I a college graduate with a master's degree who doesn't want to be abused? I'm not afraid of divorce. And how can I not realize I'm being abused? This is crazy. So it's both a like, I knew it. And then like, how did I not know it at the exact mm-hmm. same time? And it's such a strange place to be, where at least I felt so stupid that I didn't see it, but then also not stupid at all because I'd never been educated about it. And all of the abuse checklists are like, does he control your transportation? And you're like, no. Does he trap you in a room? No. I mean, maybe he might trap you in a room. I'm not saying that he wouldn't. I'm just saying the classic abuse checklists didn't seem to fit my situation. It was just confusing.
The idea of like secret keeping is power over, that really resonated with me. I'm like, yeah. Because at first I thought he didn't realize that it was painful for me, or he didn't realize the depth of, like, you know, his actions, the impact of his actions. But then I kind of circled to the fact that it didn't really matter to him, is what I kind of came to.
Well, it's even the opposite. He does it on purpose.
And yeah, in that.
He uses your feelings against you to control you, rather than listens or cares about your feelings. So the only reason he pays attention to your feelings is to be able to manipulate you, control the situation, control the narrative. And that's where women, well-meaning, awesome, caring women, they don't know what they're dealing with. And so, of course, they're going to share their feelings with their husband, because they think in sharing their feelings, they'll be able to resolve the issue. But with an abuser, sharing your feelings is literally offering them like a list of how to manipulate you better. And so that's why it's so important to know what you're looking at. So Elizabeth, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, what would you tell her?
You know, it's kind of cliche, but trust your gut. How do you feel around that individual that you're with? That was a big one for me. I never felt calm, or always felt like something wasn't right. I would teach myself, and I teach my daughter, how do you feel when that happened to you? The feeling attached to being around someone, or the how their behaviors make you feel. And then boundaries, because he was sometimes snide or joking. And I've experienced this with like other people I've dated. If you put up a boundary, that he in the beginning would be like, oh yes, you're right, I should have that boundary. But then I felt like there was undermining surrounding it, kind of diminishing me, invalidating me. And those things I just pushed aside, because I was like, oh, when I brought it to him, he did say he would go along with it. But there's the whole understanding of boundaries and the response to them. I watch my own daughter kind of give a no if she's like having a video call. No, I don't like that book, or no. And I watch the response and I'm like, oh, I know that, you know, the, of course you like it. You just don't know you do yet. This constant kind of harassment almost. So I think just that knowledge about boundaries, it shouldn't be something that they come around the back door and harass you about, obviously, or make snide remarks about, or attack your character. If it's something that you have made clear that you stand for, or that align with your values.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the time that you've taken to talk with us today. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Yeah, thank you so much for everything.
If this podcast is helpful to you, please help us reach other women by pushing that follow or subscribe button and giving us a 5-star rating. Thank you for helping get the word out. Your donations keep this podcast going. Go to our website, btr.org, scroll to the bottom, click on Support the BTR Podcast. And until next week, stay safe out there.